Some years ago, when I was still pastoring at Coal City, a dear friend of mine and a deacon in our church, and some of you will recognize the name Lowell Hassler, he came to me and he said, "Pastor," he said, "the Gideons are kind of wanting me to join," and he said, "I'd like to." He said, "But our previous pastor was against it. What do you think?" And I said, "Against it? How could anybody be against it?" And he said, "Well," he was big on the local church, said if it didn't come through the local church. I said, "Lowell, what in the world could be wrong with a group of people handing out God's word?" He says, "You think it's okay?" I said, "I think it's fantastic. And pastors have to write a recommendation," and I was just joyful to be able to do that. And the work of the Gideons to me just seemed the simplest of things. I can remember as a child, and we'd go to the hotels and so on, and there would be the Gideon Bible, and they would still come on the campus of the schools and pass out the Bibles, little New Testaments, when I was a kid, and that's much, much harder for them to do now. But the work of the Gideons is just always to me been exciting. And over the years, the annual pastor's banquet, first of all, they know how to get pastors there. They promise food. And so we go, we have a wonderful meal. And not only do they tell us they're praying for us, but last night they ended and they came around and laid hands on each pastor. Now, I know many of you would love to lay hands on the pastor, perhaps for different reasons, but it was just a very moving thing, and they ended the evening by praying for us. But the work of the Gideons, to me, has just been an exciting thing. And I have to confess, Dr. Powell, that a few years ago, we decided to kind of imitate the work of the Gideons a little bit, because you're always trying to figure out what do we give to visitors. And, you know, a pen with my name on it just doesn't seem very exciting. And people have given out coffee cups. And one church I know of, they want to give their visitors a warm fuzzy, so they would stick a little fuzzy thing on your shoulder. Well, that would make you feel comfortable at a church, wouldn't it? And I don't know, a few years ago, it just dawned on me, wait a minute, why don't we give them a Bible? And if I haven't mentioned this up to this point, we have at the either end of our Welcome Center, next to the donuts, some copies of God's Word. And if you're visiting with us, we'd like for you to take one. And so we just started imitating the work of the Gideons. And I don't know, I've lost count of how many. We order about 3 cases a year from Crossway, and we give out those Bibles. And I'm always thrilled to hear about the work of the Gideons. When we were in Terre Haute, there was a young man whose name was Jeremy. And I have to tell you, Jeremy, when I first met him, he kind of annoyed me because they were from what I called the grunge generation. You remember that? Back in the 90s, and the guys would paint their fingernails on one hand, just one hand, and he had red hair, and he wore it in 3 pigtails, 2 at the side and 1 at the top, and it was all I could do to keep from wanting to bring scissors with me, you know, and just help him out. But then I heard his testimony, and Jeremy talked about how he'd been basically living the way the world says you're supposed to live and be happy. And it left him miserable. And he had checked into a hotel, a motel over in Illinois, fully intending to take his own life that night. And he found a Gideon Bible there. And he said he began reading it. And he said, "That's why I didn't take my life." And he said, "That's what eventually led me to come to place my faith in Jesus Christ." And the Word of God is not limited to any generation. So I am absolutely thrilled to death to have our Gideon speaker here today. And Dr. Powell, Dr. Kim Powell, will you please come? And would you please give Dr. Powell a warm welcome?
Yes, sir. My girlfriend had an abortion against my will, and I don't know what to do about it. It was a beautiful fall day on campus at the University of Toledo. much like it is out there this morning. And the Gideons from Northwest Ohio, from near where I live, were gathered on the campus to offer the students and faculty their own free copy of the Word of God. It was a busy time between classes, and as the young men and young ladies would go by, "Did you get your free copy? Here's a gift for you. Did you get your testament?" A young man walked by me. He took a testament from my hand. I could see from the corner of my eyes, he took just several steps past me, and he stopped, dead in his tracks. As I turned towards him, and he turned towards me, I could see by the look on his face that he was very troubled inside. As I walked towards him, I said, "Is there something I can do to help?" It was always pent up inside and ready to explode. He said, "Yes, my girlfriend had an abortion against my will, and I don't know what to do about it." I had the privilege there on the sidewalk on the campus of the University of Toledo, not far from where we live, of opening that same testament with that young man, the one I just put in his hands. And I showed him from the precious and powerful Word of God that, yes, both he and his girlfriend were sinners. And, yes, they done wrong in God's sight, but that all had sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I went through the gospel with that young man. I said, "Yes, God says the wages of sin is death. And we all deserve to pay the penalty in a little place called hell that burns forever and ever because we're all sinners. But God has provided one way," and that verse goes on to say, "the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." I told him there's nothing he could do to earn it. No one can be good enough. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "We're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." But I told him he could talk to God in prayer just like I was talking to him. He could ask God's forgiveness for his sins and accept what Jesus Christ did for him on that cross when he shed his blood and he gave his life. And then he rose from the dead on the day that we celebrated Easter to prove that he was God and that he was the only one that could pay the penalty that he and I both deserved to pay. There on that sidewalk, that young man bowed his head. He prayed right then and there. He asked God's forgiveness for his sins. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He prayed to receive Christ. You know, my feet were hardly touching the ground that day. As I saw what God did, I believe, before my very eyes, as he changed that young man's heart. And he showed him his forgiveness through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage him to find a good Bible teaching and preaching church, just like yours, to find good Christian fellowship and go on to serve the Lord with his life. I also was able to tell him he could share that same good news in the Word of God with his girlfriend, and that she too could know God's forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, I just believe in my heart of hearts that one day we'll see not only that young man, but also his girlfriend in the kingdom of heaven. This morning, I'm here to say thank you on behalf of that young man and countless others around the world for your part in this ministry as an extended missionary arm of your church. To thank you for your past part in this ministry as we have worked together to see others, men, women, boys, and girls, come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And to review with you how you can be a part of it, to give you, if you will, a missions report of what the Lord has done and continues to do through the Gideons International as an extended missionary arm of your church. And, of course, to give God the glory. As many of you know, the Gideons International Association of more than 280,000 self-supporting missionaries, Christian business professional men that the Lord leads to join this ministry, members of good standing of churches just like yours, and their Christian wives who join the auxiliary to the Gideons International. This ministry began in the hearts and minds of two traveling businessmen that met each other in a hotel in 1898. 1 year later, they met with another brother in Christ, and they began what the Lord laid on their hearts to be called the Gideons. Since 1899, in 1908, the first 25 Bibles were placed in a hotel in Wisconsin. And since that date, the ministry has grown by God's grace and enabling, so that today the ministry has been established in 200 countries, territories, and possessions. And we are currently placing and distributing the Word of God in 200 languages at a pace of over 1 million copies every 5 days somewhere in the world. Now, I'm an old mathematician, so I put a pencil to that. That figures to be about 2 every second, every time your heart beats somewhere in the world, to God be the glory. In fact, since those first 25 Bibles were placed in 1908, more than 2.1 billion copies have been placed and distributed through the Gideons International in partnership with your church and others just like yours, and we give glory to God. You know, I'm here to tell you that's not nearly enough, because in China alone today, As you probably are aware, the population is some 1.4 billion people alive today just in China, in the People's Republic of China. And we've placed, distribute the Word of God on your behalf on college and university campuses, just like we did on the University of Toledo campus that day, in public and private schools, in hotels, in motels. That's probably what Gideon's are most well known for, placing Bibles like this in hotels and motels around the world. Hospitals, nursing homes, in the offices, in the reception areas of doctors' offices, dentist offices, attorneys' offices, into the hands of military, into the hands of policemen and firemen, into the hands of medical workers around the world, basically in all of life's highways and byways. At a current cost of $5 to cover all the expenses to purchase and to place a hotel Bible, a full English Bible like this, somewhere in the world, or an average cost of $1.25 to place a testament or a scripture in a foreign land, I know you'll agree it's a small investment, potentially huge eternal dividends. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not here this morning to give glory to the Gideons. We're just sinners saved by God's grace that God has called to this ministry. But I'm here to give glory to God. And I'm always reminded of what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. He wrote, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but it's God that gives the increase. But verse 9, just two verses after that, he also wrote that we are laborers together with God. And God has given you and I, all of us, as true believers in Jesus Christ, the Great Commission. Amen? He's called us as his ambassadors. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's amazing to me to think what an ambassador is. God has called you and I as Christians to stand in his place, to work in his place, to share in his place, to be his hands and his feet on this earth so that others can come to know our Lord and Savior and be assured of eternity with him in a wonderful place called heaven. So we are laborers together, and we in the United States of America carry a great privilege and, yes, a great responsibility. You see, last year, through the Gideon's International, we have assisted you in placing more than 87 out of every 100 scriptures that were placed through this ministry this past year outside the borders of the United States of America. And yet nearly 3 out of every $4 to purchase those scriptures, we place them distributed free. We never sell the Word of God, but there is a cost, of course, to purchase and to place those scriptures. Nearly 3 out of every $4 to purchase those scriptures and place them is provided by Christians, Gideon's Auxiliary members, and Christians in churches just like yours so that we can place distribute them around the world. You see, actually, we're not a scripture distribution ministry. We intend to be a soul-winning ministry. Our single objective is to see men, women, boys, and girls come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do that as we associate for service, yes, areas just like yours here in Greene County that we call Gideon Camps. And as we personally share the Word of God and give personal testimony, and yes, as we place and distribute the Word of God around the world. God has given you and he's given us the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Jesus said, all authority is given to me on heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore, and disciple or teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And he said, I'm so glad, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, if we do this in his strength, we'll fail. But he, through the power of his word and the work of the Holy Spirit, changes hearts and lives for eternity. We know that, as you do, because he tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that this is no ordinary book. He says the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. He says, to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of a man, woman, or child's heart. This book, along with God's Holy Spirit, changes hearts and lives for eternity. I'm not telling you anything you don't know this morning, I'm sure. And yes, it's profitable, as you read this morning, for all those things that we read about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 It truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, as we sung this morning. Well, he also gave the Great Commission to disciples and to us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And he says, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem," right where you live, "in Judea," maybe you might think of that as a state of Indiana, "in Samaria," maybe some place you might really not want to go, "and the uttermost parts of the earth." And we are privileged on your behalf to do just that. There's no lack of opportunity to place and share the Word of God around the world. And that truly is happening here in Greene County, as the Gideons here and Auxiliary here are doing that right here in your Jerusalem. But I'd like to take you to a couple of places around the world. I have the privilege of doing some traveling for the Gideons International. I'd like you to come with me to a place I've actually been 6 times, a place called Sri Lanka. It's an island off the coast of India. And when I first went there, there was a war going on in that country, a war that started in the early 80s. You may be familiar with it. It was the Tamil Tigers against the government forces there, a terrible war that went on for many years, for decades, actually, in the country of Sri Lanka. Decimated that beautiful island. Actually, when I went there, it was very difficult to travel there because there were stop points everywhere where the military would stop us, and we would travel to go visit the Gideon camps there, to open new camps there, and to place to distribute the Word of God, and to show the Gideons in Algeria how best to share their faith there. That was our goal in going. Well, come with me to Colombo, Sri Lanka. It's the capital of that country. And I was privileged incredibly, I believe miraculously, to go in to a ladies' ward there in a prison there known as Magazine Prison. As we went in there, we waited for some of the ladies to come. Some of them actually had little infants in their arms there, and they were behind those walls, incarcerated for the things they had done here on this earth. As we did that, some of the Hindus would go and do their religious thing. You know, they have thousands of gods. They don't understand that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and they need to know about that. We were there to share that with them. The Buddhists would go over here doing their religious thing. Of course, they worship Muhammad and Buddha, and they don't understand that there is one God and one mediator between God and man. But we were there to share that with them and to offer them copies of the Word of God. As we waited for some of the ladies to come, we offered an opportunity for some of them, some were Christians actually, to give testimony to what the Lord was doing in their life. And the lady stood up, and she held the Word of God, a copy of the Word of God that had been placed by the Gideons, obviously to me, close to her heart. She said, "I thank the Lord for the Gideons International." She said, "Because while I'm behind these walls to pay the earthly penalty for what I've done, because of this precious book, I am free." I was reminded of Psalm 146. It says that the Lord sets the captives free. Of another verse, one of my favorite verses is an eye doctor, 146 verse 8. It says, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind." You see, His precious word alone with the power of the Holy Spirit can change a heart and life for eternity. And it indeed does that. So we praise the Lord for that. On another one of my trips to Sri Lanka, I was in the middle of the country. It's a beautiful country. We were in the mountains of that country. And I visited a camp that had been established just a little bit over a year prior to that. One of the Gideons there shared with me a testimony. He said one of the first distributions we did here was at a school called Rambukama State School. We went there and we offered the young people, grade 5 through 12 there, their own copy of the Word of God. He said, "We just recently went back there. And as we went back there, of course, a young man came up to us. He said, 'I wonder if I might tell you a story.' They said, 'Sure, we'd love.' His name was Sujiwa. And Sujiwa told this story. He said, 'When you were here just over a year ago, you gave me a copy of this book.' He said, 'I took it home, and my grandmother lives with us in our home. She does not read, and she saw the book. She said, Sujiwa, what is that you have in your hand?' He said, 'I told her that these men came to our school today, and they gave us a copy of this book.' She said, 'Would you read to me from it?' Over time, Sujiwa read that testament to his grandmother, and of course, he read it himself. And he shared with the Gideons there that over that year, both he and his grandmother, through that precious book, had come to understand that God had sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to pay the penalty for their sins, and they both had come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, we get testimonies back all the time. Even sometimes whole families come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because of one testament that's placed in the hands of a young person, perhaps in a school. or one scripture, this place in a hotel or motel, where, as Pastor shared, oftentimes we get testimonies, letters from people that send letters to Giddings International headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee, to share how they checked into a hospital, perhaps with a gun, perhaps with drugs, ready to take their own life. Because the Word of God was there, God led them to put down the drugs, to put down the gun, and to pick up the precious and powerful Word of God. And indeed, He used that to change their hearts and lives for eternity. You know, sometimes, except for a little understanding of how incredible and how great our God is, it's almost questionable to believe the testimonies we hear. But let me share with you one. I spent some time in Nigeria. I was privileged to leave in 2012. I shared last night at the banquet. What God did is 21 Gideons went in to assist the Nigerian Gideons at the uttermost parts of the earth, for most of us, to work with the Nigerian Gideons and auxiliary to place and distribute the Word of God. We spent a week in the capital of that country, the largest populated city of Nigeria called Lagos, there place distributing and personally sharing the Word of God and sharing the gospel. And then another week in the largest populated city in Nigeria called, they call it Ibadan. We would say Ibadan. Ibadan, they call it. The largest geographical area city in Nigeria. Little did we know what the Lord had in store. Because over those 2 weeks, we were privileged with to assist the Nigerian Guineas Auxiliary to place, distribute, and personally share over 703,000 copies of the Word of God in just 2 weeks there. Glory to God. We saw literally thousands of young people pray to receive Christ. As I shared last night, my favorite thing was to go to the opening ceremony before school would start, and the students would be gathered together in front of us there. And in most cases, we had the opportunity not only to tell who you are as Gideons, we're Christian business professional men, or Christian wives as part of the auxiliary, but to offer every one of them, many of them Muslim, a copy of the Word of God, and to share with them, in many cases, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in many cases, give them the opportunity to pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, God knows their hearts, I don't, but we literally saw thousands of young people indicate as they raised their hands that they prayed and asked God's forgiveness for their sins, accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we praise God for that. But you know, I know of a testimony of a Nigerian student that was riding on a train. And in this testimony, he shares, he was writing on the train, he was writing a letter to Giddings International Headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee. They speak English in Nigeria, by the way. And he pulled out a testament that he'd been handed on campus at that school to get the address of Guineas International Headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee, so he could send this letter. In the letter, he shared how the Guineas had come to his school, how he'd received a copy of the Word of God, and how that precious copy had led him to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to thank them for that copy. As he did that, two Muslims came up to him, opened the train window, grabbed the scripture out of his hand, and they threw it out the window. He continued to write a letter to Guineas International Headquarters to thank them for the copy of that Word of God and to share with them what had happened and to ask them to please see to it that you get another copy of the Word of God. It wasn't long thereafter another letter was received at Guineas International Headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee. It was from a Nigerian train worker. That train worker in that letter shared that he'd been working alongside the tracks. He found a book, picked it up, cleaned it up, took it home, and began to read it. And through undoubtedly that same scripture, that Nigerian train worker shared how he had come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's an incredible, amazing, all-powerful, and sovereign God that we serve. Amen? Because undoubtedly, God had used a church like yours to pray, a church like yours to take an offering for scriptures, a Gideon from a church just like yours, like Dennis here, to go and take time from his busy schedule to go to that school campus to offer a Word of God, a precious and powerful copy of that Word to that student. And then God had used two unbelievers that needed yet to know the Savior to just at the right place at the right time to take that testament, to redistribute it out that train window, and then to lead that Nigerian train worker to it, and it changed his heart and life for eternity also. And we say glory to God. It's an amazing God that we serve. Amen? You can say amen, or you can say however you want, whether you're a Presbyterian or Baptist or what you are. And we say praise the Lord. He is good. You see, this morning I want to thank you personally. I shared briefly last night, and I think I'll share with you this morning how I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. You see, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. I was number 2 of 5 children. It was a good home. Our parents took us to church and Sunday school regularly. I even had a godly grandmother to kneel next to the bed with my older brother and myself when she was in our home. And although today I know that God heard her for prayers on my behalf, I thought I was a Christian, but I didn't understand the difference between religion and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As I grew up, I found success by the world standards. In high school, I was president of this and vice president of that. I was captain of this team, and I was co-captain of that team. I was able to do a lot of things to make a young man happy and proud. I even played an undefeated high school football team there in the largest 3-year high school in the state of Ohio, ranked in the state of Ohio, and you can bet that I was a proud young man. I attended a Fellowship of Christian Athletes National Conference that year held in New York, and I'm sure I heard the gospel there, but I didn't understand it. I thought that God had this cosmic scale in heaven. I thought he put the good I did on one side, the bad I did on the other side. As long as heavy on the good side, I thought he'd take me. After all, I was a pretty good guy. Of course, that's not the Word of God teaches at all. I went on from there to a small college in Northeast Ohio, and it was there I got a good education by the world standards, but I also learned what I'm not so finally today call the 3 C's, how to be cool, how to be collegiate, and how to be carnal. But again, I found success in many of those same areas, academically, athletically, and socially. As I look back, even though I didn't know the Lord, I believe he had his hand in my life because I had planned on teaching and coaching when I went away to school. I wanted to teach math and science, and I wanted to coach as many sports as I could possibly coach. I played 3 sports in high school. But I believe the Lord had his hand in my life because a year before I graduated, I believe the Lord had a hand in changing my mind. I decided I wanted to become an eye doctor. That's providential, I look back, for more than one reason, not the least of which is I was drafted number 40 to go to Vietnam my senior year in college. And had I not been accepted to go down to the Ohio State University to study being an eye doctor, I would have gone to Vietnam. And some of my friends came back in bags from there. That breaks my heart to think of it. But it's even more impactful to me to see that God had his hand on my life, because had I gone to Vietnam and been killed over there, not only would I not be here this morning, but far worse than that, I'd be spending eternity in a little hell that burns forever and ever and ever. In any case, I went down to Ohio State. I guess I pretty much convinced myself that I was self-reliant. I thought just about anything I put my heart and mind to do, I could do on my own. It was about halfway through that 4-year doctoral program at Ohio State University that the Lord began to show me that only he could meet my needs. You see, it was at that time some very serious personal problems came into my life, the kind that most of us here this morning think could only happen to someone else. And suddenly, my life was a shambles as my education and life in general had lost its meaning. I didn't know it then. My younger brother, who was away at school, actually at then Tri-State College, now Tryon University here in Indiana, had come to know what Jesus meant when he told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." He'd become a Christian. I'd see some change in his life. I didn't understand what was going on in his life, but I later learned he began to pray for me because he knew of these problems in my life. I think as a result of his prayers and countless others that may have been praying for me, I made it through the graduation. I passed my state board exam, and I was given the opportunity to stay on and teach at the Iowa State University. That next year became the very most important year of my entire life. See, after looking for all the wrong places for happiness and the answer to life and finding nothing that lasted, I recall picking up a little testament just like this one. These men had come on campus, and they were passing out these little green books. I remember when I received it, thinking, that's a nice little Bible. I had Bibles around the house, so I grew up. I just didn't understand what they said inside. As I opened the front, I found a scriptural help section. It said where to find help when, and I went down the list. Afraid, anxious, bitter, critical, defeated, depressed, lonely, needing guidance, needing peace, needing rules for living, sorrowful, tempted, weary, worried. The list went on and on. No one had to tell me about those problems in life. On the outside, I looked good. I was going to be a doctor, but the inside, I was a mess. And those problems described my life very, very well. I began to look up God's answers to those problems, and as I read that precious and powerful book, I started actually my second year there after I'd received that book and in my doctoral program. For over 2 years, I read that scripture, and I found that God had the very best answers to problems in life, but I didn't understand the gospel. God used others to water that precious seed, as I shared earlier, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7. And I'll share with you quickly. He used my younger brother. My brother was away at school. He was an excellent athlete, better than I. His sport was track. His best event was the 400-meter intermediate hurdles. As the Lord would have it, that first year that I taught at Ohio State University, he would qualify for the small college national track meet, which providentially that year was held at Baldwin-Wallace College in Berea, Ohio, just a couple hours from where I was teaching. at Ohio State. Of course, I went to watch my brother run. He qualified for the finals in the 400-meter intermediate hurdles. He would have run against Edwin Moses, who many may know has held World Olympic records in the hurdles. He was the fastest man on earth, a gold medalist in the Olympics later on. My brother never could have beat Edwin Moses, but neither could anyone else in this world. My brother made it to the finals, eight people that made it in that small college nationals. All he had to do was finish the race legally. He would have been All-American. There had never been an All-American in my family at that time. I was very excited. Before the finals in that event, his coach put him in to run anchor in a 400-meter relay race. That's four people, one time all the way on the track. He was the fastest of the group. He ran anchor. He took the baton, and I was excited. He was very fast. He pulled a hamstring and rolled on that track before the finals in that event where he would have been All-American. I got to his side the same time his coach did. I was on one side, his coach on the other. I had tears in my eyes. I knew as an athlete all my life what it meant to me to lose a sure shot All-American honors. As I reached down to help pick him up and carry him off that track, I'll never forget. He looked up at me, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Praise the Lord." I remember thinking, either this guy is crazy, or maybe he's got what I've been looking for. And, of course, he had. He knew the Lord as his Savior. He began to share with me in letters, scripture verses. Even one time being at home and walking through the woods, him with an open Bible, I'm sure he shared the gospel with me, but it wasn't God's time. I continued to read that little testament, continued to work and soften this hardened heart. And that year, in April of 1977, one of my students in the last year of his doctorate asked to play basketball in a basketball marathon. The Lord knew basketball is my favorite sport. It was almost a god for me. And I was playing actively at the age of 27. I played some college ball. And I said, sure, I'd love to play basketball. That marathon would be, that tournament, actually, I call it a marathon, was sponsored by a group called Word of Life. Never heard a Word of Life before. But halfway through that day of basketball, there would be a Kentucky College basketball coach that would come and share his own personal story. His life had been much like mine. He said he'd been going from weekend to weekend, basketball game to basketball game, and party to party. He said he thought life was a big party. He was in an auto accident, saw one of his best friends die next to him. He said there's no reason he should have lived, but he did, and began to look for the answer to life because he thought there had to be more than eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He said he found the answer in the same book that I've been reading in the Bible. And that day he shared more clearly than I ever remember hearing the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he gave an invitation to those that were sitting on that floor. I sat on that floor, and I believe the enemy of my soul was trying to convince me my religious background was going to get me in the kingdom of heaven. And God was telling me through his word, no, you've got to come to me like a child. And I thank the Lord that I got up off that floor, went forward and asked God's forgiveness for my sins, and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and as my Lord. And the Lord changed my heart that day. Now I can tell you I'm still a sinner, but I'm saved by God's grace. And I thank the Lord for his word and for you, because it could have been you that prayed for fruit from that precious and powerful copy of God's word that was placed in my hands. It could have been you that gave to purchase that scripture. It might have been you as a member of the Gideon's International, even took time for your busy schedule and came and be sure that I had that copy that God would use to plant the seeds that would bring me to Christ. 5 days later, outside the door of a Bible study I was invited to go to, I met the girl that is sitting here in the pew, my wife Lynette. And the Lord put us together. He's blessed us in many, many ways. On July 29, 1983, he blessed us with our first child, Brandon Scott Powell. Then one day later, he chose to take our young son home. That was very difficult for us, and I still get emotional thinking about holding that little guy in my arms as they took him off life support in the hospital. And I prayed and asked the Lord to take him home. But I believe I can say this morning, as David did, that he can't come to me, but I can go to him. And I believe I'll see him one day in the kingdom of heaven. God is blessed with four other beautiful children, three grandchildren. He is so good. And I'm here to say thank you for your part in this ministry. Please continue to pray for the Gideons and the auxiliary at home and abroad that will be faithful to do what God has called us to do. Please pray for fruit from the Word of God. His Word does not return to him void, but it accomplishes what he pleases, and it prospers in the things where he sends it, Isaiah 55:11. Secondly, you might be here this morning and be interested in membership in the Gideon's International. If you're a Christian business professional man, perhaps a businessman farmer, or retired, we'd love to talk to you about joining the Gideon's. We need hands and feet to do this ministry. We need to get the Word of God out here in Greene County and around the world. And you and your Christian wife can join this ministry and be a part of this ministry if you're a member in good standing of this church or another one like this one. We'd love to talk to you about that. You can also become a financial partner, not only through the offering taken this morning, but we have a a ministry we call Friends of Gideon's, and you can become a prayer partner. We'd be happy to email you or send you information on a regular basis on how you can pray effectively for the Gideon ministry. That will cost you nothing except your time to find out about the Gideon ministry and what God's doing and to pray for the ministry. We would greatly appreciate that. You may also become an ongoing financial partner, a friend of the Gideons, and you can do that for a yearly offering of $120. We will not only send you information we'd send to a prayer partner, but also we'll send you some testaments you can use personally in witnessing and sharing the gospel with your friends and those that God puts in your path. You can also give by using the Gideon Card Bible Rack. You know, as a result of our son's just one day of life, his testimony goes on. At that time, more than 250 Bibles were placed somewhere in the world in memory of our son, Brandon Scott Powell. On the average, one of these Bibles placed in a hotel or motel has a reasonable possibility of touching 2,300 lives on the average. If but one soul is saved, surely his short life will not have been in vain. You can use these cards provided in your church, in your church foyer, on either end of your foyer here, through the display there. You can place Bibles in memory of a loved one or friend, in honor of a special occasion, in recognition of a special event, or just because you're thinking or praying for someone. Please use those. The Gideons provide those cards free of charge, and you can place a Bible for $5 or $5 or $25, whatever God leads you to do there, and send a card. Change a life. Lastly, through the offerings taken today as you leave this place, you know, I don't apologize for asking you to give as God leads. Please don't give your normal tithes and offerings you give to this church. We don't want those funds. God is using those mightily here. But you can do that through the offering taken today, or if you've forgotten your checkbook, there are some tear-outs there. You can use a credit card to give, or you can go online to www.gideons.org. That's G-I-D-E-O-N-S.org, and give there. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, as I mentioned before, says that we are laborers together. And Philippians 2, 16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, holding forth God's word, provided by you, his people, placed, distributed, and personally shared by the Gideons International. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your part in this ministry. May the Lord continue to bless you and use you for his glory. Thank you so very, very much.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful to you for what we have heard this morning. We're grateful to you for the work of the Gideons, and we pray that you would make us a blessing to our brothers and sisters. And Father, it may be in something that Dr. Powell said here this morning, his own testimony, that you would have pricked our hearts. And especially, Father, if it's the difference between going to church and being religious versus truly knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. Or perhaps we already are Christians and you're speaking to our hearts about something else. Come, O God, we know that you are a loving God. You have told us things in your word because you love us. Most of all, you have told us of your Son. And we pray in this time, help us, draw us near to the Lord Jesus, draw us to him. And we pray, Father, that you might move in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.